It's the Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. 2020 was a challenge to most everyone, from the devastation caused by the pandemic to the resulting economic recession, as our elected leaders tried to navigate around these crises. We're in the offices of Mayor Bill Peduto, physically distanced, with the mayor and county executive Rich Fitzgerald. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you. Good to be with you. Good to be with you, Kevin.
We've called this year unprecedented, unpredictable, once-in-a-lifetime event. But in your words, how are you going to remember 2020? Mr. Fitzgerald, let's start with you.
You're right. A year like no other. I guess you'd have to go back 100 years to the Spanish flu pandemic. It's something that affected everybody. We've certainly had disasters in the past, floods, earthquakes, wars. There were some people that might not have been affected by those. But this is one that every single person, every single business, school, whatever you were affected by this, and it altered all of our lives. And it's been a difficult and challenging year.
Mayor?
It's not only been a global pandemic that we haven't seen since 1918, but economic uncertainty and collapse from it that we haven't seen since 1932. And on top of that, social unrest and the recognizing of racial disparity that we haven't really had the discussion on since 1968. Those three coming together all in one year has made it both a challenge, but I think also has opened up opportunities to what it will look like in the years to come.
Mentioned economic collapse. So let's get a brief sense of where the city and county are financially at this point. Mr. Fitzgerald, how's the county doing as you start a new budget year?
Budgetarily, it's certainly challenging. Many of the revenues that the county relies on were impacted, things like hotel tax, drink tax, car rental tax, gaming tax, sales tax, et cetera, have been affected. I think more the more of the devastation has actually occurred to individuals in the private sector who have seen their jobs just overnight get changed. And some, particularly those in the hospitality industry, restaurants, entertainment, that have just been devastated by this because there hasn't been, I don't think, enough robust help coming from the federal government along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, of course, the city relies on a different mix of taxes, including an income tax, a wage tax. How's the city as we begin 2021?
In 2020, we saw basically one out of every $6 of revenue disappear. So we have had to make adjustments. We have had to spend down our reserve funds that we have been building for the past 7 years. And as we go into 2021, we're facing great uncertainty. If we have learned anything, we have learned that our revenue structure for the city is not resilient. It cannot withstand the shock of a global pandemic. But as the county exec said, we're in a situation where in the city we have a very vibrant and important industry in food and beverage. We have a very critical industry in theater and in music, and we're the cultural center of an entire region. And so many of the people that are critical parts of that industry live in the city of Pittsburgh. And they are facing that same situation, and even worse. You know, as we look at this, this is nothing short of a disaster on a national scale, and it requires a national response, not only to the cities that are at the front line of dealing with the public safety part of this epidemic, but also to the individuals who are in a situation of losing everything.
You have each advocated for federal help in a stimulus package. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell has called that a blue state bailout. President-elect Biden has called what's already been enacted a down payment. Do you expect any more luck getting direct assistance for the city, for the county, with a new administration? Let's face it, a lot of that depends on the results of the special election, the runoff elections in Georgia for two U.S. Senate seats Tuesday, January 5th. Mr. Fitzgerald?
Well, first of all, I'm going to disagree with the premise that it's a blue state bailout, because if you really want to look at the federal budget, blue states in general contribute a lot more to the treasury than they get back. So it's really the red states that get a lot more money from the federal government vis-a-vis how much they put in.
So you're getting more back than you're actually putting in, you're saying.
A red state does, yes. And again, I'm not even, but the fact is, cities, municipalities, state governments have all been affected by this pandemic. The federal government's job is to do, when you have these type of calamities, Mayor mentioned that, you know, the 1930s and the Depression, that's when the federal government can come in. They're allowed to deficit spend. Counties are not, states are not, cities are not. So we got to balance our budget. Not that we want to run deficits, but there are times in which deficits should be run, and that is right now when you're in a global pandemic.
Let's face it, individuals need help. Agencies need help. Municipalities, states, but Congress has to make decisions, jobless benefits, help for overwhelmed hospitals, small businesses struggling to hang on, individual people getting grants. Where do you think the county and city should fall in the pecking order if they have to make decisions, Mr. Fitzgerald?
Well, you know, they should be right near the top because, you know, and I think from the county standpoint, we provide human services as one of the biggest item in our line item in our budget. These are the folks that have been impacted the most. From both standpoints, if we're not made whole as governments, it's going to be the people that need the help the most that are going to be most affected.
Mayor, where should the city fall in the pecking order of getting help from the government, federal government?
Well, I think that it's not a choice of choosing. It needs to happen at both levels. We need to have a program created that provides a guaranteed income to individuals who are struggling through this pandemic. And at the same time, we have to make sure that, in particular, our engines of our economy, our cities, are not in a situation where they're going bankrupt.
Mr. Fitzgerald, you recently appointed Lisa Edmonds as the county's chief equity and inclusion officer and to lead the Department of Equity and Inclusion. Whether it was a response to the protests over social and racial injustice or new reports pointing out health and wage disparities, what specifically can each of you do to make the city and county more equitable? Mayor?
Well, I think it starts with what we do with our own administrations. The county executive has brought women in from around the country who are experts in their fields, who are running departments now that men used to run. Within the city, we work to make sure that the diversity of our boards, our authorities, our commissions, and our administration itself, it mirrors the city of Pittsburgh's demographics, and it exceeds when it comes to the number of women who are in leadership positions, the number of minority candidates, and making that the example of being able to show how it creates a more successful government, and then holding our colleagues in the corporate community and the nonprofit community and organized labor to do the same.
Mr. Fitzgerald, can a more diverse body of appointments actually make a difference? How can people see this in action on every day to eliminate or at least shrink some of those inequities?
Well, it's a first step. It was about a year and a half ago, before a lot of what we talked about happening this year, some of the racial unrest that we've seen, that we decided to go from an MBE-WBE department and restructure it as an equity and inclusion department. We made that decision back in the fall of 19. And so it's not just about the government contracts that are given out that are have a certain percentage and benchmarks that we want to meet. But as the mayor said, we want to spread that out into the corporate community. So Director Edmonds will be more proactive in reaching out to try to work cooperatively with our corporate partners, our nonprofits, our universities, foundations, et cetera, to make sure that more people have opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Perdue, when we spoke in early 2020, you said your focus was on major developments in the Strip District, Larimer, East Liberty. There's been a renewed interest in developing neighborhoods equitably. So as we begin this new year, what do you expect when it comes to neighborhood development?
Our goal is to be able to prime the pump. If we can work with the communities in order to be able to fix up those buildings, if we can find entrepreneurs from those communities to move into those storefronts, and we can provide 2 years of low rent or no rent, we believe that we will then start to see private equity follow the coffee shop that moves in next door. You know, the opportunity to get somebody like Big Tom in the Hill.
Famous barber.
The opportunity to move into Ham's Barbershop, which is a historic part of the Hill District, and to make the above floors affordable housing. We need to do more to help to turn that type of an entrepreneur into a real estate developer. And it's not that people haven't tried before, but we haven't put the type of investment behind it that's needed. So I believe that, you know, as we look at neighborhood redevelopment, what you'll see during the course of the next few years is the market will take off. It will stay very strong, and especially in the neighborhoods that you mentioned in Lawrenceville and the Strip and East Liberty and other parts. And then we'll prime the pump in the areas where it's not taking off in order to give opportunity to everybody.
Mr. Fitzgerald, a year ago, you told me transportation was one of your big goals along with workforce development. What has changed in your plans to improve both as a result of the pandemic?
Well, the most important thing is to get on the other side of this pandemic. So the goal is going to be as quickly as we can get the vaccine distributed. Having said that, transportation and workforce development are still two key components to bring back places in the county that haven't had the growth. There are pockets of places where people aren't doing very well, and that because they're not connected through either transportation or information, or they don't have the skill set to get the jobs and the opportunities that are out there. So we still have major challenges in both of those areas. One of the bigger challenges now is we know transportation dollars have been cut back considerably because gas tax revenues, et cetera, turnpike toll revenues haven't kept up because of the pandemic. So that's going to be a challenge. We got to work with the new Biden administration, and I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic that they're going to be supportive of that.
But there's actually been some good news during 2020 when it comes to transportation, even though Port Authority ridership was way down, obviously. The major grants, the final approval, the approval from the federal government of kicking in about $100 million for the bus rapid transit project, and then another grant for electric buses to be used in that. So you have to feel good about that.
That was a huge win. Yeah, absolutely. To get that $100 million, which, you know, gives the emphasis to get this thing moving that we've been working on for a number of years. And as you indicated, the electric buses, which is the next generation of transportation that the Port Authority is moving towards. But again, I go back to the fact that because revenues have been cut in other areas because of gas tax, et cetera, some projects around the region, around the state, around the country have already been either scaled back or pushed off.
With longtime State Representative Frank Dermody's loss in November, Allegheny County no longer has any lawmakers in top leadership posts in the state legislature. Realizing he was in the minority in the state house, what could this mean for the county? For example, will it become more difficult to get funding for local projects, policy implications? Mr. Mayor, let's start with you.
You know, losing Frank Dermody as the leader certainly has an effect, but I don't think it will change the way that we do business with Harrisburg, because the county exec, myself, the congressman, our House leadership, our Senate leadership, all work together.
Finally, your priorities for 2021. Mr. Perdue, let's start with you.
Well, I would say that they fall upon two areas. Number one is a continuation on operation side in order to be able to do as much or more with less. The financial constraints that we're facing, we believe that we'll face them for the next few years. I do believe that assistance from Washington is absolutely critical to get us over that without having to make cuts that would be devastating. And the second is the reality of where we are right now and where the people of Pittsburgh want us to be, understanding that there's more that we need to be able to do in order to address the social issues of this city, in order to be able to create a city that is for all, and to be able to create the programs and the policies behind that that can make sure that we seize the opportunity that the crisis that we've been facing in 2020 can be used to create something better than what it was before.
Mr. Fitzgerald, is it difficult to sharply define priorities when there's still a lot of uncertainty?
Well, the biggest priority is obviously health right now, to get, you know, keep people healthy with the vaccine now starting to become distributed. And to get this vaccine distributed as quickly and as safely and as expeditiously to as broad a base of population as we can. That's the only way we're going to get back to somewhat normal. That's the only way you're going to see neighborhoods and downtown venues with entertainment, our opera, our symphony, our restaurants come back to life until people have confidence that they're not putting their health and the health of their family at risk. So that's got to be number one to do that. But on top of that, to make sure that some of the people that have been hurt most by this pandemic, economically as well as health-wise, get the assistance that they need. I am very optimistic on a macro level. Again, companies, I think the pandemic has also heightened how good Pittsburgh is, a great place to do business, safe, quality of life, all the things we've been touting for a long time. I think when you see companies that have footprints in maybe a half a dozen or a dozen cities, they realize their Pittsburgh operation is a great place to be. I anticipate these folks are going to grow their Pittsburgh operations vis-a-vis a New York, a Boston, an LA, a Seattle, et cetera. And I think our best days are ahead of us, but we got to get over that hump and on the other side of this pandemic as quickly as we can.
But grow when they have the resources to invest.
And I think they will. And I have seen optimism already. I mean, a lot of the development community, a lot of the construction that we've seen in life sciences and robotics and all the different things we're really good at has continued unabated. It has been the hotel, the tourism, those type of industries, you know, that have suffered the most.
Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Isabel Schmaler, Lara Satsui, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.